This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live, you can dial in here toll free and get on the air with us. Talk about whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Those are open and available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. Discord.lrn.fm. It's a free app. You can download the app and then get in our Discord server, join one of those top rooms, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with me, Ian,
Chris,
and Daryl.
So to start things out here, we're going to continue on this topic of welfare that Sarah had brought up in the last hour. The idea being that people in the United States would die in the streets of starvation if it weren't for the government's welfare program. And at the root of that particular belief is ultimately the belief that humans are bad. That
right.
Humans, when given the opportunity to help their fellow human, will refuse to do so. And refuse to do so in large enough numbers to where people would die in the streets of starvation.
Yeah, that seems a little bit hard to believe to me. I certainly think that there's certain people out there who are not of good character.
Oh, yeah. They are the ones pouring bleach on the
right,
people's
to say
food.
That, to say that, you know, there's not enough people out there of, you know, better character is just
it's a real negative, a real negative view of a person's fellow human being.
And I would think if the money wasn't being taken from people already, there'd be more people with the money to donate to charities to help people who were poor.
You're right about that. But not only are you right, there's also the factor of when you donate your own money to an organization that you support, rather than having some bureaucrats, some faceless, heartless bureaucrats, take the money from you by force and then give it out in the way they think is best, when you're the one allocating your money, Chris, and you, Daryl, and you, the listener, when you're the one making these decisions, it's better allocated. You're giving your money to an organization that, to you, has proven its worthiness. They're helping people. They're handing
Absolutely.
Out food in the park or giving people a place to stay or whatever it is that they're doing that you value.
Right.
You're giving it to them because they've proven they're actually helping people. They've proven probably that they're pretty efficient at helping people because
right.
you wouldn't want to give to a charity that blows 90% of its budget on its administrators, right? Like you don't want to give to that charity. With the government, they blow about 70% of their budget on their administrators, but you're forced to give them the money.
Right.
So if you give money to a charity which gives 10% to its administrators and 90% gets out there into the hands of the people that they're actually helping, well, then every dollar given to that charity and charities like it compared to the dollars that are taken into the welfare program are like 4 to 8 times more effective. So you could actually have people donate less money if the government welfare went away. People could donate less, even if they weren't as generous as we think they are. Even if they donated a quarter as much as is taken in welfare, it would probably go further than the 4 times the amount that's being blown by welfare. Because it's being done on a voluntary basis. Because those charities are being run by people who care. Because I'm not saying every bureaucrat is heartless, but the fact is there's plenty of bureaucrats they're just there for the benefits. They're just there for the, you know, the sweet, sweet retirement package. And they really don't care about, you know, the job that they're doing. They don't do it to the best of their ability.
There's a website. There's actually a few of them that they actually wind up looking because these charities, they have to release
numbers.
Numbers. And there are groups that will look and go through and see which charities wind up doing the most good with the money. Which charities wind up putting a lot of money in marketing and paying off their CEO. Looking at you, Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Wasn't Bono, didn't he have one that was like 90% going to overhead?
It wouldn't surprise
YouTube?
Me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. But then there are other organizations where the CEO doesn't take a paycheck.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, again, it's your choice. When it's your choice, the money goes further. The money becomes more effective. And it certainly helps when government bureaucrats aren't running into your food giveaway and pouring bleach all over the place, as Daryl was telling us about.
And, you know, it's interesting because that's actually probably the most effective charity because they don't have, they're not going to have a 30% administrative overhead cost that, you know, your typical charity is.
Who isn't?
Well, a charity like this, because it's all volunteers, not getting the permits, not getting the regulatory, not jumping through the regulatory tape. Because of that right there, you just
think costly.
That's about 30%.
Yeah, because you got to, you want to make this sandwich? Well, you've got to have a fully renovated kitchen with a $200,000 vent hood. Make sure you get it from the official licensed distributors so they can charge you more for the installation.
I'm not even thinking of that. I'm just thinking of the permits, the legal paperwork, and then you got to hire somebody.
Yeah, but you don't get a permit unless you have the $200,000 vent hood. So, like, in order to get the permit in the first place,
you have to hire people to actually, you know, be put in position to do those things.
Right. You have to upgrade. You can't just, legally, in a lot of places, you can't just make a bunch of sandwiches in your home kitchen and give them out. There have been people who
That's not a commercial kitchen, sir.
So, in order
it doesn't matter that you're not using the toaster. You still need a double firewall separating the kitchen from the living room.
This crap happens to charities all the time, and that's why a lot of them
can't get off the ground. We know a guy that was trying to start a restaurant that it was going to be everything was pickled.
That's right. So, no cooking.
He still had to get a firewall separating the kitchen from the serving area.
Yep.
Originally, they wanted him to get a double firewall, but they said, well, you might use this microwave.
It broke him. All the regulations broke
him. Wow.
And he never ended up opening his restaurant.
Yeah.
It's just...
And that happened in New Hampshire to a Liberty guy who actually got elected as a Republican, by the way, that particular gentleman.
Yes.
In this recent election. Let's go to your calls and thoughts, and then we'll tell you about the poor people in Venezuela, where it actually is hard to get food. But first, we go to Vernon. He's in New Orleans. Vernon, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's hard for me to imagine when I can't understand this concept of such kindness from humanity for those that are down on their luck. Now, I'm not advocating for welfare necessarily, but this idea that everybody is so charitable and everybody is just going to help you when you're down on your luck, I don't necessarily
think. Who said everybody? Nobody said that.
No, but I don't even think there's a majority of people that would be in that.
You don't need a majority of people in order to be charitable to cover the people who are really down on their luck. You need a minority who are willing to donate a small amount in order to cover it.
Not everybody throws money into the Salvation Army bell ringers that are standing outside of stores during the holiday season, but enough people donate money into those charity buckets, and that's with the burden of taxation.
Right.
So imagine how much money people could donate if there weren't a burden of taxation.
The Salvation Army isn't going to make enough money to be able to provide housing those for these people long term, or especially for the disabled and for the mentally ill.
How do you know that?
Part of the problem right now is the regulation which prevent them from actually building the houses in the first place.
But there are expensive to build houses.
I have a brother-in-law that has lived at the Salvation Army shelter, and it's about $86 a week, and they provide three meals a day. You're expected to find work, but that's it. It's not a long-term solution. They'll let you stay there maybe a year or two at the most.
So?
Then you're on your own again. And if
but the Habitat for Humanity builds houses for people.
And those aren't even like...
There's a limited supply. Again,
there's always going to be limited supplies. We don't have, a post-scarcity world.
Okay, well, you didn't hear what Chris was saying to you, Vernon. Chris was pointing out the government gets in the way of houses being built. We could have housing that's cheaper, but the government stands in the way.
Right. Actual housing isn't that expensive to build. You can build tiny homes
it's wood.
Like a couple of $1,000.
Wood and some roofing.
And they've actually prevented this from happening in these places. And it's not even like you couldn't do housing that's cheaper than that.
But you have to buy the property from.
There are people who have donated the property in cities.
There's a guy here in Keene, New Hampshire, who owns one of the shopping center properties here, and behind it, he owns a fairly large swath of woods. And I'm making a point that's contrary to what you pointed out here. He has been willing to allow homeless people to stay on his property, and what has been the problem? The government has come in there and said, no, you can't do this. You can't have these homeless people here. They might build a shelter that hasn't been government approved. And so they went in there and they threw these homeless people out of the shelter that they'd been built because they were supposedly trying to protect the homeless people from themselves. If you've got more to say, Vernon, hang on. We can bring you back here in a moment. Vernon, questioning the generosity of his neighbors. And, you know, even if you think your neighbors aren't generous, does that give you the right to point a gun at their face and force them to give to your favorite organization? We're coming up here in moments, 855-450, free like freedom, Free Talk Live.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico-Chops.
Try Lico-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio's great for direct response with its low cost-to-listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer-term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark at freetalklive.com.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in here, toll-free. Join us on the radio. We're talking about charity and how charities are more effective than governments at helping people. But then Vernon called in to say that if it weren't for the government, then how would people get houses in which to stay? We've got that discussion that will continue because he hung on the line with you tonight, by the way. It's Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
If you're operating a retail business and you've been wanting to accept cryptocurrency like Bitcoin at your point of sale, at your cash register, we've got the solution for you. It's AnyPay.global. Get on over to AnyPay.global, create your username and password, and you get into the site. There's no application fee. There's no application form. It's just you create those username and password, and you're in. And then you set up your back end, which is as simple as filling in your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. So for your personal wallet as the owner, you put your current crypto wallet addresses in there, and then you save that, and then load up the app on your point-of-sale device. That's it. You're accepting Bitcoin. You're accepting Dash if you want. There's a few others in there as well, like Zen. And go to AnyPay.global to get started now. That's AnyPay.global. And for those of you who have an Android device at your point of sale, they do have the Android app. It is available. If you search for AnyPay Take Crypto on the Play Store, it should come up. There's another AnyPay out there, so make sure you get the app that's called Take Crypto. And you should be good to go. So once you load the app up, you'll put your login, username, and password in, and that's it. You're done. You're accepting cryptocurrency. AnyPay.global. It's free for merchants. As we go back to Vernon in New Orleans. Vernon, are you seriously suggesting that people wouldn't have housing help in the absence of the government?
Please put me on hold. I can't hear anything.
Hello?
The audio will come back here in just a minute.
Hello?
Please put me on hold. I can't hear anything.
Okay, I don't know why that. I don't know why that is. That's strange. Maybe there's something going wrong with the network's systems there. We will try him back here in just a few moments. But his critique was just to try to, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but to try to summarize what he was saying a few moments ago was that, oh, well, the Salvation Army's, you know, they're good at helping people temporarily, but they wouldn't be able to provide housing for people as though. Without the government's welfare programs, people wouldn't be able to get help with housing. Maybe it wouldn't be the Salvation Army that does it. Maybe it would be a local church. Maybe it would be some other organization that we haven't even thought of yet.
Local churches currently, in most cases, prohibited from providing housing to the homeless.
In their facilities, you mean? Like on the church property?
Yeah.
By government zoning?
I've read numerous stories. Some of them have to do with zoning. Others have to do with, other code regulation stuff, which is
regulatory
red
tape.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, it's all kinds of regulatory stuff.
And as I was pointing out, there's the example that we've had happen here in Keene, and it's happened elsewhere where homeless people have been welcomed on a piece of private property.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the government has come in to say, nope. No, you cannot have this structure because the homeless people might want to actually build, a little shanty or something like that that they can rest in when it's, say, snowing out or raining or something like that.
Especially here.
And is it built to code? No, of course not. It's, some kind of a shack that some homeless people put up.
It doesn't need to be built to code as long as it's safe and, which they could potentially build.
The argument is that it's not safe because it's not built to code.
But that's ridiculous. I mean, just
well, maybe it's not ridiculous. I mean, if there's no exit, for instance.
The code is constantly changing, all right?
Well,
are you saying all homes in the 1970s are unsafe?
No, of course not.
In the 1970s and don't comply with
today's
code?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, if you are in a building there's no exit from, for instance, or there's only one exit. I mean, there's certain reasons.
If the building is small enough.
Yeah, these are not big buildings.
Right. Give me a break.
A tiny house generally only has one door.
Right. Yeah.
There's probably a window, though. In a tiny
might not
house.
Be big enough for you to fit out of, though.
There's no doubt. Look, I'm not going to try to say that a homeless shack is a safe place to live. Okay? But it's probably better than freezing to death in the snow.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay? So, and people should be free to take risks with their lives. I mean, the government isn't stopping the homeless person from drinking
and
themselves to death.
Sleeping bags is better than nothing.
How is putting yourself in a shack that's not to code less safe than dying from being out in the cold
it's
during
not.
The winter?
It's not.
That just sounds absolutely ridiculous.
I'm just telling you, that's the excuse of government. When they come in there and they say, we're tearing this down because it's not to code, the excuse is, somebody could, burn this thing down while people are sleeping. And it could and has happened, right? Like, there's certain reasons why these governments come up with the codes in the first place is because people make mistakes when they're building or they don't think things through, well enough. So I get the concerns, but I still support freedom, because freedom includes your freedom to take a risk.
Right.
Whether that risk be getting on a, you know, roller coaster and putting yourself in, you know, potential danger, or that risk is to drink yourself to death, because even if, you know, even if that homeless, the homeless people we're talking about, even if they don't have the homeless shack that they can't go in because they're not allowed to build it because the government's going to come tear it down.
So they freeze to death instead.
Yeah. That's not going to stop them from going out and buying a crap load of liquor and then drinking themselves to death.
And then they don't realize they're cold.
Or drinking enough to where they don't realize that they're freezing to death and then, you know, actually, you know, falling asleep and passing out in the snow and then waking up dead. Basically. So these things can happen. The idea that, you know, we wouldn't be able to help people. Okay, we're going to go back to Vernon here because he's the one criticizing private charity as opposed to government.
Go
ahead,
Vernon. No. I called in, Ian, to talk about the volume. And let's just pretend we're in your free society where we're dependent upon people's donation. People like stuff for free. Let's look at the AMP program. The AMP program has drastically reduced membership over the years, right? I heard you talk about it on the show. Why?
It's more plateaued like than anything else, but
yeah, there was some errors in the numbers.
Right, but if people are asked to pay for a show, like through Patreon or whatever, or listen to it for free, what are they going to do? 90% of them are probably just going to listen to it for free.
Yeah, I'd say it's about 90% of them.
Yeah, but nobody ever asked
or okay with that.
Anything other than a donation, essentially, right? It's not a program that anybody's saying you have to pay for.
But right, that's what we do. We give away our show for free, and then we ask for people who really value it to support it.
Right.
Right. Well, there should be a lot more people that value this type of a program, yet they're not willing to
pull out
money. And so the whole point is that.
So what?
That's just one of many, many examples of where.
No, it's not. I mean, it's a terrible example. You're talking about supporting a radio show versus helping somebody who's, you know, going to die.
Is he really saying we should use violence against people to ensure that your radio show is supported?
Good question.
Because that's what it sounds like.
No. I just think it's one of anything that you have donations for, and you look at the amount of people that participate in those things versus donate, whether it's a charity, a radio show, anything, you're going to see that most people are looking out for themselves, and they're not going to be charitable in that way, regardless of what it is.
What does it matter to you what most people do?
Because it matters, because of the demand. There's not enough demand. There's not enough charity out there to cover the demand.
But that's not true. There's plenty of charity out there. People give billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, every single year in the United States alone to charities, including charities collecting for people halfway across the world.
Why is it that most towns have homeless shelters where you have to line up at about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just to hopefully get a bed? And if you're not there,
they're run by the government.
3-4 hours before, then it's full.
It's government regulation. It's government red tape. That's
talking about. They're run by the government.
It's not lack of funds.
Yeah, the government's prohibiting people from building shelters, prohibiting homeless people from building their own shelters. And then the government says, oh, well, you don't need to build your own shelter. We've got a shelter over here that we run. You can just come over here and, like you're saying, stand in line and hope to get in. And, you know, thanks for the call, Vernon. Appreciate it. There's more coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. As the magnitude 7 earthquake hit near Anchorage, Mayor Ethan Berkowitz says he could tell it would be a big one.
This one was much more dramatic than many of the ones that I felt in the past. It was sharper, it was louder, and it was something that you knew was bigger.
Anchorage resident Philip Peterson was working downtown when the quake struck.
You know, I think it lasts about 45 seconds, but that feels like half hour. I mean, just because it's just shaking and shaking and shaking, and then it starts to roll a little bit, too. And when you're in a higher rise building, it's kind of swaying as well. It's really nerve-wracking.
A brief tsunami warning was issued, then canceled. More aftershocks are still expected. The largest one so far, 5.7. There have been no reports of injuries. As many as 10,000 people were without power at one point. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in here. The toll-free number is 855-453. Like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. We also have our Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Whatever you want to talk about goes here. We have been talking about helping people in the absence of government forced wealth redistribution programs. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And Daryl.
And, you know, I feel bad for the people out there, like our last caller, Vernon, who seemed to have a real negative view towards their fellow human being, who seemed to think that everybody is just in it for themselves and that nobody or very few people will help out when called upon to assist. And I haven't had that same experience in my life. I've found that people are just generally generous and helpful.
Where was he calling from? Because that
New Orleans,
might play
I
a...
think.
Okay, yeah, it's strange.
Or somewhere in Louisiana. I think he's in that region.
No. The reason I ask is because, you know, there are certain states that are more generous than others.
Okay.
And, you know, when I say that, I mean the people within the geographic areas.
You don't mean the state governments, yeah.
Right. And one thing that's interesting is the people in the poorest states wind up giving more money than the people in the richest states.
That's strange.
In the U.S.
I wonder why.
And, right. They,
maybe they can empathize better?
There might be that. There's also, there's actually an article that I pulled up, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but the author here, he links over to something written by someone named Arthur Brooks, who said that it might have a religious explanation because 8 of the top 10 states for per capita giving also rank in the top 10 for most religious states.
Hmm.
And if you look at the bottom end of the list...
Correlation, of course, not being causation, but
correct.
Interesting.
7 of the 10 states at the bottom of the donation list also come up as least religious. Hmm. But then there's also the fact that the states that come up on the lower end of the donation list also have more government programs. So there could be the thinking of, why do I need to donate?
The government's already doing it.
It
disincentivizes charity.
Correct. Right. So it's one of those things to where there are a lot of different ways you could look at this data and come to a lot of different conclusions.
And people also have less money to give to charity because the government took it all from them already.
Well, no, they don't have less money. They're making more money. They might have a higher tax burden, but they're still going to have more expendable income than somebody at the lower end.
Okay.
Of the bracket, and this is only looking at per capita giving.
Okay.
So, you know, as a percentage of income, I believe. So, you know, 1% of income in New Hampshire is going to be higher than 1% of income in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not seeing that. We're seeing actually, you know, lower donations in those higher income states. So, you know, it is one of those interesting things to where, yes, there are going to be some people that don't donate to the program that you think needs to be donated to, but they might also be donating to things that I wouldn't donate to,
correct,
and vice versa. And so, you know, like, if everybody donated money to the Innocence Project... One, I'd be very happy.
That's one of your favorites.
But at the same time, that means that people aren't donating to the food bank. And they're not donating to Habitat for Humanity. They're not donating to the Humane Society. There are a lot of charities that are very worthwhile.
Yeah, and people should be free to make those decisions for themselves. And,
right.
And then, you know, the best charities are going to get the most funding. And they're going to prove that they're getting results. That way they can get more funding.
Right.
So they want to show off how they've had success stories. And the individuals who have helped, you know, they've helped. And plus, regarding people who might help one charity but not help another, there might be somebody, for instance, who is not really a fan of helping homeless people, but they might still donate. Even if they don't donate to the homeless shelter in town, if a family loses their home through a fire, they might go to the donate to the fundraiser that they have.
They'll
for the
pitch
fire.
It on the GoFundMe,
right? So, you know, everybody's got the things that they think are helpful and the things that they want to support. And I think the difference between libertarians like us and people like the caller there, Vernon, I don't know what his viewpoint is. I always thought he was pretty libertarian, but maybe I'm misrecalling some of his calls. But anyway, the difference is that we believe in people, and we believe that people, when given the choice, generally will do the right thing.
Right.
And that you don't need to use coercive force in order to get people to do the right thing, even if not everybody is going along with what you think the right thing is.
Right.
Maybe you just weren't persuasive enough.
Mm.
Maybe your organization just didn't meet their level of standards. Or maybe they're just not interested in whatever it is that you are offering.
And then there could also be the thing of people not necessarily having the money to donate to everything they want to donate to.
Well, sure, and that's where the question comes in of, if you didn't have taxation, if you actually got to keep all the money that you earned, then you would have way more that you could then, in theory, donate to organizations. So, unfortunately, we don't live in that world, but even though we do live in a highly taxed, highly regulated world, there's still a tremendous amount of donations and charitable giving and volunteering that goes on. And I think that's all the evidence you really need. The fact that all the taxation and all the government that exists, that on top of that, people still donate, people still contribute, and they still volunteer, really goes to show that we are talking about people are good, that they are mostly good, that, some people might be skinflint, they might be stingy, they might be rude, but you know what? that's okay, because we don't need them. Yeah. And the people who are running these charities, they don't care what percentage of the population donates to their charity. They care, can they meet their goal? So the charity comes up with a goal to raise a certain amount of money. Mm. There's one of them around here, the United Way, which, of course, for those that don't know, United Way is sort of a charity of charities. They collect money, and then they distribute the money to local charities. And it's a way for somebody, and I'm sure there's critiques of the United Way. Okay, fine, you know, put those aside for a moment. Just explaining what they do. There's a certain, they have a listing of local charities that when the United Way is funded, they fund those charities. And it's a way for somebody to cut one check who wants to do a lot of charitable donations.
Right.
You just cut the one check and then let the United Way handle giving it out to the other local charities. That way you're not, you know, driving around for 2 days cutting checks to
which 15 different charities.
Which
may also be a better way to donate to charity, especially if you don't know which charities are efficient.
Right.
If they're evaluating those charities before they donate the forward the money on.
Right, they're providing you the service of not having to do that for yourself. Now, again, you have to trust the United Way is doing a good job of that sort of thing.
Of course.
And, of course, you can audit them, too, I'm sure.
And have you heard of Giving Tuesday?
No, I have not.
So it's the Tuesday following Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, right.
Where there's just, you know, over the last few years, I don't remember exactly when it started, but over the last few years, charities have started pushing of, let's have one day where we focus on trying to get people to donate.
So, like, right after Cyber Monday, basically.
Right after Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Couple days after Black Friday. This year, an estimated $363 million was donated to charities on Giving Tuesday.
Not bad.
Yeah. On one particular day. And there were a lot of charities that they'll get limited matching funds. We'll match anything donated on this particular day.
Right.
$363 million. That was an increase of $63 million from 2017, which was an increase of over $100 million from 2016. That was an increase of $50 million from 2015.
To me, the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, you're giving some of it. There's just so much evidence to show that people are generous, people are willing to help, and they're interested in helping. But if your worldview is the opposite, if you hold the worldview that people are bad, that they're stingy, that they're mean, they're mean-spirited, they're rude, they don't care about their neighbors, if that's what you believe, then you shouldn't be surprised that you find evidence to support that belief.
Mm.
I mean, that's true for a lot of us, right? Whatever it is we believe, we're likely going to find the evidence that supports that belief. So when you see somebody behaving badly, you're going to chalk that up to, oh, see? See, all people are bad. That person over there is behaving badly. You'll notice the bad behavior more often if that's what you believe. More coming up.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of Lico Chops. Get the third bottle free.
New improved Lico Chops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, six extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card-sized tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at CryptoTip.org. That's CryptoTip.org.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Moments remain here in this radio edition of Free Talk Live. But we got more actually coming up here tonight on a special after show. Only available on the Twitch video streaming platform over on our Twitch channel, which is over at twitch.lrn.fm. Just go to twitch.lrn.fm. Make sure you follow the Twitch channel there. That way you can get notices whenever it is we go live and bring you episodes of Free Talk Live. Because, again, all of our radio show hours are aired live on Twitch. You can, of course, download them later. You can watch later on the Twitch archives. And now we do this after show thing, which this will be our third after show in 2 weeks. So we did one two Tuesdays ago, one this Tuesday, and now we're doing one here tonight. And it will be no FCC censors. So open phones with no FCC censors because no radio stations.
21 hours wasn't enough, Ian?
Yeah, no, actually, we did a 3-hour after show on Tuesday night, so that's 24 hours total of Free Talk Live, and then we don't know how long it's going to go tonight. So, we're having fun with it. It's if it's fun, we're probably going to do it. And so hopefully people will participate, but we'll see how it goes. So check it out, twitch.lrn.fm. Let's go to the phones, to the fun, and if we get the chance, Chris, you do have that story about Google versus Russia.
Yeah, I still have it.
David, first, though, in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm only calling because of what I heard you guys talking about. And first of all, in regards to welfare, what you propose, I agree with. The libertarian system, as you described, without re-describing it all over again. And let me go one step further and say that I don't know how this fits into the libertarian model, but I would actually prefer a tribal warrior society over the government that we have right now, because, for instance, in a warrior society, nobody would have touched my children because they'd have died trying, because I'd have made sure that I was part of a warrior society that would protect me against anybody who would come and try to destroy my family like that. Mm-hmm. So now taking it back to what you're talking about, welfare, there is, and like I said, in the context in which I agree with you 99.9%, but there's some factors that I never hear discussed, not just in this discussion, you know, here in this forum, but anywhere in any forum. And in your libertarian model, you do have an answer for this as to what would happen, and you can share with me what that would be when I lay this out to you. one thing, but one factor that never gets covered, or one set of factors, and I'll just pick on one very specific one, for instance. Before our modern, you know, quote-unquote modern wealth system that contains the current welfare system that we have, when your the care of your children and your invalids and your elderly was done by the families themselves and close friends. And we don't, for the most part, or to a great degree, we don't do that anymore. When your mom and your dad get old, if you didn't have money, you know, half the population doesn't have money to buy a policy that will cover mom and dad when they're in the old folks' home, mm-hmm. needing 24/7 care, which costs like $90,000 a year.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the current system covers that. You know, if you, once you get into the Medicaid system, after you've lost all of your assets, your overvalued home, your overvalued cars, your bank accounts, once you've lost everything, you qualify for Medicaid, and Medicaid will pay for old age care. And in the day and age we live, almost nobody does that themselves. Most people, their parents end up going to professional care. And if we changed, if we got rid of the, you know, for instance, being specific, if we got rid of Medicaid that paid for, you know, the care and housing of elderly people, all of the family members that are now out, you know, being productive money-wise, earning money and paying into the system one way or the other, whether buying their own policy that will cover mom and dad or paying into the tax system that then has Medicaid cover mom and dad, if they had to come back home and do it themselves, all of those people would come out of the workforce, and, you know, that would be just fine. It's just that the economy would then shrink because those people would not be producing in the economy.
I'm missing what you're saying here. Why would the people who want to help their parents in old elderly age have to leave the workforce?
Well, because they'd have to come back home and take care of mom and dad because the government's not doing it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So there would be other, I'm sure, organizational, you know, systems, right? So if you look at the amount of money that people pay into, let's just say, just Social Security, right? This is the great government program that's supposed to take care of people when they get old, which, of course, we know there's no lockbox. It's not being, you know, invested. It's just tax the young to distribute that wealth to the old people.
It is a Ponzi scheme by definition.
Right. And if I recall correctly, I think the amount taken is approximately 15% when you total the both sides of the Social Security so-called contribution.
Yep.
So every tax, every pay period, every paycheck that somebody gets, their check would have been 15% higher, right, if they had not had to pay into Social Security. So that's money right there that you could donate to an organization or give to your grandparents or parents or whatever.
Yeah.
That is money that should be yours, that your boss, that your company you work for, is allocated to you. That's money they otherwise could pay to you if they didn't have to give it to the federal government.
It's closer. It's something like closer to 70%, though, in terms of
70?
Taxes.
Wait, what?
In terms of total taxes. So
I was just talking about just Social Security.
I know you're talking about just Social Security, but that kind of is underwhelming to me, considering
I see what you're saying.
There's another 15% that you don't even know that you should be getting paid from your employer because it's a tax. That is directly, so there, you might see on your paycheck 15% is taken for, you know, Social Security.
Well,
whatever.
For Social Security, it's 7.5% from you, and then the employer matches 7.5%.
But it's still 15% total. All of it would be yours otherwise.
Yeah, what I'm trying to make out is that it's something like 30% for your average individual ultimately is being taken out.
You mean as far as like income tax total?
Yeah, and it ends up being, again, you're like your average individual, not necessarily. If you're at the lower end or the higher end, you might have more or less, but the point I'm trying to make is that it's not going to show up on your taxes, like on your, what do you call it, your paycheck. It doesn't usually show up then.
Well, the 7.5 won't show, but as far as your half of Social Security, they will show you that.
Right. And then on top of all of that,
there are
people don't understand.
No, correct.
It's not hidden. It's listed on your pay stub.
No. But he's saying the other 7.5 is hidden. Yeah, that's not listed.
May I suggest something? We have a model that already did exist. If we travel back in time and before Social Security, You know, so if you want to go back, you know, before the 1920s, or if you want to go back before 1900, whatever you want to do.
You mean mutual aid societies?
Well, all of life, you know. So what in reality, because people generally do the best that they can do with what they have. And so if you go back to a period of time before this existed, what in fact were people doing? Because by definition, they would have been doing the best they can with what they had at hand. So when mom and dad got old, or if you had a disabled relative, you know, handicapped, whatever you want to say, that could not take care of themselves, and you had small children, who did those chores? Who took care of those people when there wasn't a professional that came to the house, or a professional where you shipped mom and dad off and you know, to get rid of them?
Families and friends, I would imagine.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago that families basically stayed together for generations in, like, the same house.
I remember my family helping my grandma before she passed away, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's my point is that we've already lived that, and we can look exactly what did people do, and what you just described is what people did. For some reason, they weren't banking some sort of money into some sort of fund because they weren't paying Social Security. They weren't, even though they could have, they weren't doing it. They were doing it themselves for some reason. So the question is, Social Security didn't exist, and they weren't taking the money that they weren't paying into Social Security and buying some coverage plan or putting in the bank or burying in the backyard or in the mattress or anything like that. They weren't doing that. And the question is, you know, so why? Because if we're suggesting taking away the Social Security welfare, whatever, that provides that kind of stuff now, if we're suggesting taking it away, you know, what might you end up with? And we already have the model of what we had before it existed, so how would it be different now if we got rid of the Social Security?
Because families aren't generally staying together for three generations in the same house. Life has evolved over the last 100 years.
Well, maybe they would.
Looking at things different than we did 100 years ago.
If you took away the Social Security system, and I'm not saying that I like it the way it is, but I'm saying if you took it away, I think you would find people coming back out of the workforce because nobody was when they went to work, nobody was volunteering to go to their house and take care of their mom. And so what
David, thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate it. So you'd see people organize themselves in a slightly different way, and it would likely be far more effective. Yeah. More coming up on twitch.lrn.fm.
Makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems. The Smart Blood Pressure Tracker.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.